The title of my sermon is Perfect in Christ. Perfect in Christ. We are talking about you, beloved. Have you come to Christ? Have you said, Lord, I receive you. I love you, Jesus. I want you. Come into my heart. I want you in my heart, and I want me in you. If you have said, Jesus, I want you. Come and fill me. Change me. Oh, make me your own. Heal everything. Guess what? He heard that prayer. He answered that prayer. He has done it. The Father testifies when Jesus said, it is finished. The Father testifies in Revelation, it is done. It is done. It is accomplished. What was accomplished on the cross for you? The great exchange was accomplished. His purity for your trashed life. Great exchange. He took everything that was dark, everything that was needy. He took your neediness. He took your neediness. He took the sin nature out of you. That which wanted to do things that were wrong, that which was unable to do what is right. He took that on the cross. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Wow, yes, we were.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You were not Mary standing there, Stabat Mater Dolorosa, weep, weep. No, you were not John. You were not the Roman soldier, stick. You were not the thief. Or the other thief. You were co-crucified with him. You were in Christ. You and he crucified. We will look at what he has done. Did you know there is a new translation of the New Testament in progress? Now that is called the Mirror Translation. It is available free online. It is mirror.scripturetext.com. I have printed some things out for you. But first, actually, we want to look at a fantastic scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. About being perfect in Christ. Feel free to say amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I read to you, first of all, from the King James. Oh, my goodness. Quoting the Old Testament, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hadst had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, jumping down to verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now let's look at this in a more modern translation. Admittedly, this is also Arthur S. Way's translation, which is excellent in Hebrews. And this amazing translation here. Oh my goodness. Oh boy. So rich and so wonderful. He says, so he abolishes the former, the old covenant, as a means of expiating sin. He institutes the new covenant. And in this accomplishment of God's will, by the means of the offering of the body of Jesus the Messiah, once for all, have we been fully consecrated to God. And he, after having offered for sin one sacrifice, which shall forever avail for every need. For every need. Wow. Sat down, his work accomplished at the right hand of God. Having thenceforth only to wait until his foes have been placed like a footstool beneath his feet. And it says that for by this one offering, he has forever perfectly, perfectly cleansed, redeemed those who from age to age became his consecrated ones in the perfections of Christ, in the perfections and lights of Christ. You have all and abound. There is nothing that you lack. Your shepherd makes sure of it. Psalm 23, verse 1. Who can quote it for me? Amen. Thank you, Brother James. Hallelujah. You shall not lack. You shall not want. There shall not be anything lacking in your life. Why? Because the all in all is yours. He has given you all things needful for life and godliness are yours. Is there anything in which you are not enough, that you don't have enough? Is there anything that you're disqualified about, that you can't come to Christ and say, thank you, Lord, that you have given me everything necessary? Nothing disqualifies you. Nothing disqualifies you. Hey, Shikaramasa. Wow. You know, I brought the old-fashioned hymn book because it seems like in past revivals, there is always a song that arises, birthed in the flames and in the fires of revival, that is a song of who Christ is in us and who we are in him. I bless you all to write songs of revival that tell people about their identity in Christ, that let the world know what Christ has done for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Whoa. Because, see, one of the great journeys for us is to discover what it means to be born again. What it means. Woo! I don't have a Band-Aid over a sin problem. What happened to the sin nature? Thank you. Thank you. This is for all of us. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. See, whatever you are touched by in Christ, you are not just blessed by, you become. So in John 4:13, the water will become in you a fountain springing. You take a drink and you become a fountain. Hallelujah. In John 7:37, you take a drink, you become a river. Jesus says, my blood touched you and a transfer took place. And you became the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. So I read to you from the Mirror translation that I printed out from online. And here in Hebrews 10:14, it says, in that one perfect sacrifice, He, Jesus Christ, has perfectly sanctified sinful man forever. Woo! He has done what nobody else can do. He has done it. The gospel reveals the integrity of your original identity, rescued in Christ, says Galatians 1 and 6 in the mirror. I'm going to jump around. I just want you to hear this, hear this, hear this. This is the truth about you. All right. There is no other gospel, even if there are many other so-called Christian products branded with gospel. If there remains any hint of do-it-yourself, any hint of the law, then it is not good news, but merely religious people's ideas that distract from the gospel of Christ. And Paul in Galatians goes so far as to say this. Ready for a shockeroo? He says, if I myself or any of my team would, we would stand accursed if we claim to have had an angelic visitation, even if what we preach ever so slightly strays from the gospel of the finished works of Christ. That's his translation of Galatians 1 and 8. Verse 9, let me be blatantly clear about this. Any gospel that does not emphasize the success of the cross is a counterfeit and produces nothing but the curse. Woo! God is now my persuasion, and he is the person I please, not man, not woman. Shaka shinde. Here's some yummy riches for you too. This is from 1:15 and 1:16 of Galatians. God's eternal love dream, the eudokeo, his beautiful intention, separated me from my mother's womb, my natural lineage, my natural identity. His grace became my identity. His grace is your identity, the grace of Christ. This is the heart of the gospel I proclaim. It began, writes Paul in verse 16, with an unveiling of Christ in me, freeing me to now announce him in mankind, including the masses of humanity that were not even Jews by birth. I felt no immediate urgency to compare notes with anybody else's opinions. This is radical. So Paul writes, oh my goodness, he writes, he didn't get this gospel from man. He got it straight from the Lord. And he writes this, he says, so that, that Paul is the apostle with the revelation of the mystery of Christ in you, as we read in Colossians 1:26 and Acts 11. And he tells the history of things, but he says, what Jesus Christ believes concerning our innocence matters most. Christ is persuaded that he did enough. Our best intentions to do good cannot add any weight at all to our righteousness. Righteousness is not a reward for good behavior. Woo! So what dares disqualify you from receiving all that God has for you, beloved? You don't have to work harder. It's yours. Here we go. Galatians 2:17. However, if in our quest to discover righteousness by faith in what Christ did for us, we find that it might still be possible to stumble, do not now label yourself a sinner yet again. You're a saint. Come on, you want to hear it again? If in our quest to discover righteousness by faith in what Christ did for us, if we find that it is still possible to stumble, do not now label yourself a sinner yet again. You're a saint. The fact that you sinned does not cancel the cross of Christ. Preaching your sermon, Leona. And gives you no reason to abandon justification by faith. As if Christ is to be blamed for any of our distractions. Now, all of a sudden, do we want to keep the law again to further add to our righteousness? As if Christ did not achieve enough? Whoa! Never let your experience invent a new grace law mixture of doctrine. Oh, yep, yep, yep. That would be disastrous. Yep, yep, yep. Oh, only a con artist would try to be a lawman and a grace man at the same time. Whoops. This is like straight up stuff, okay? You want it straight, here it is. Here we go, real deal. Oh, Galatians 2, 19, 20, and 21. Okay, here we are.
I just got to read something right here. Okay, check it out in Galatians. The rules are not based on trust, and the person who chooses to live his life by the rules or the law will be imprisoned by them. Galatians 5, my friends, get a grip on the freedom Christ has given you, and do not let yourself be imprisoned again.
Hallelujah and amen. Here we go. My co-crucifixion with Christ is valid. This is Galatians 2:19 in the Mirror translation. My co-crucifixion with Christ, co-crucified, is valid. I am not making this up. In his death, I died to the old system of trying to please God with my own good behavior. God made me alive together with Christ in his resurrection. How can any human effort improve on that? The terms co-crucified and co-alive define me now. The terms co-crucified and co-alive define you now. Christ in me and I in him. His sacrificial love is evidence of his persuasion of my righteousness. He believes in my innocence. It would be offensive to continue to seek to be justified by personal effort. It is an insult to the grace of God to prefer Moses to Jesus, the old covenant, over the new. If the law could justify you, then Jesus wasted his time dying your death. That would reduce salvation to a ludicrous contest between your obedience and the obedience of Christ. Are we talking gift or reward here? What kind of message ignites faith? And the law revealed that we were a condemned sinner and a failure. Oh, but what God believes to be true about us, as revealed in the gospel, is quite different. Let's not confuse law with grace. Can you see how stupid it would be to start in the Spirit, persuaded in his finished work, and then for some crazy reason to switch modes back to do it yourself again? It'd be suicidal. It's like deliberately jumping out of the boat to try and swim across the ocean. The law does not complete faith. The law nullifies it. So would you accredit what you received from God to something you did or something you heard? Oh, help us. Did God reward you for your high moral standards when he worked extravagant miracles in you and lavished his Spirit upon you? Or did it perhaps have anything to do with the content of the revelation of the message of grace that you heard? Faith is the source of God's action on humanity's behalf. And our hearing is the conduit of what faith reveals. Don't you love this? Doesn't this feed your spirit? Feeding ourselves on what Christ has accomplished on the cross for us is paramount. It's how we keep our little oil things all filled. In clear contrast to faith, the law is the source of the curse. Oh, my goodness. But so law and faith actually have nothing in common. Law measures man's doing and experience as defining his life. Law measures man's doing and experience as defining his life. Faith measures God's doing in redeeming his design in us as defining our lives. God defines you, beloved. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. So the scripture concludes that all humanity without exception are in the same predicament. They were imprisoned to sin, but now faith brings the promise of immediate release within everybody's reach. Jesus Christ makes it possible for all to believe what God believes concerning their righteousness and restored innocence. Isn't this fun? So then it says, listen to this. Now that we have arrived at our destination. Why, Leona, didn't you just preach this? Oh, this is Galatians 3:25 in the Mirror translation. Now that we have arrived at our destination. You have arrived, beloved. You have. The prophetic road signs and pointers of the law are of no further use. Faith replaced that custodian guardian, which was the law, which kept us until we be of age to go to the proper school of Christ to find in faith the righteousness revealed and endorsed, the righteousness of Christ in you. It's not your own righteousness. It's not your own faith. It's a gift of God, and you've been enabled to receive it. Everything you have, you receive. Everything. Wow. And he answers all your prayers. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. So faith, not flesh, relates us to Abraham. And you inherit the blessings of Abraham. That's another whole teaching. We're going to have to do that one of these days, because I want you to know what you have in Christ. So amazing. Yeah. And then the fourth chapter of Galatians is the sonship daughtership chapter, just talking about who we are in Christ, who he is in us. Here we go, 4 and 6. The original, this is actually Romans 8:14, that's a commentary on 4 and 6. Here we go. It says, to seal our sonship, God has commissioned the spirit of sonship to resonate the Abba echo in our hearts. And now, in our innermost being, we recognize him as our true and very dear Father. Woo! The original life of the Father revealed in his Son is the life that the Spirit now conducts within you. The original life. Oh, isn't this rich? Of the Father revealed in his Son is the life the Holy Spirit now conducts within us. Slavery is such a poor substitute for sonship. They're opposites. The one leads forcefully through fear, but sonship responds fondly to Abba Father's love. Wow. His spirit resonates with our spirit to confirm the fact that we originate in God. Because we are his offspring, we qualify. We're heirs and heiresses, joint heirs and heiresses with Christ. God himself is our portion, and we co-inherit. with Christ. Heba-beba. Thank you, Lord. So realize whose children we are, my brothers and sisters. We are not kids of the slave mom Hagar, which represents an old covenant, do-it-yourself way, the law, but sons of the free mother, sons and daughters of grace. Grace, yum, yum, yum. Woo! Law, righteousness, once again, here we go, chapter 5 and verse 4, Galatians 5 and 4. Law, righteousness has nothing in common with grace, righteousness. They are opposites. As impossible it is for anyone to travel in two opposite directions at the same time, equally irrelevant does Christ become to anyone who continues to pursue their own righteousness under the law. Wow, our minds are made up. What God believes about us is our exclusive reference. Any other basis for righteousness leaves humanity falling hopelessly short. And what does God believe? God believes, Galatians 5, verse 6, that we are fully represented in Christ. Oh, anybody here representing? Yeah, come on. Which takes circumcision or any contribution of the flesh out of the equation, faith finds spontaneous expression in love. Because it's so easy for love to believe. Would I compromise the message of the cross and preach something else just to avoid persecution? How insane would that be? The whole matter boils down to thinking that either being justified is the result of something humanity still has to do, or knowing that it is the result of something that God has already done on Calvary. Who? Your redeemed identity defines your freedom, my sisters and brothers. As free, as free as you are from the law now, so are you the love slaves of Christ now. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. You are at last free to live the life of your original design. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Faith defeats flesh all the time. Shika, 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 shika. Those who understand that their righteousness is of Christ and that it does not come as a reward for their ability to keep the law really, really well, have discovered that their flesh, with its dictates and lusts, was co-crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. That's why you don't have a sin problem. You don't have a flesh problem. He took care of it. Because faith defines us, not flesh, we take our lead from the Spirit in our daily conduct. And there's an authority in our step. Amen. The Christ life is the dominant authority in the universe. Does that preach or what? The Christ life in you, the dominant authority in the universe. You have authority, beloved. All things are yours. Life and even death, all things are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Oh, you are his, beloved. You are his, you are his. You are his, you are his. This work is accomplished. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, you get all the credit. Whoa, you've just taken us into experiences, Lord. Praise you, God. this experience, these realms in God, this divine experience of Him was given to you to steward. Because Jesus Christ is the light that enlightens everyone that comes into the world. And Jesus says, this, He wants you to use. He wants you to use your ability to remit sins and forgive sins. He wants you to use the power that you have to change the atmosphere around you by releasing the blessing of the Lord indiscriminately everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. And once the light of the world arises and touches someone, they become the light of the world. Hallelujah. And the light that's in you attracts more glory, attracts more and more and more. You were created to live in such glory that people would see the radiant glory of God around you and come into Christ just through you, just through you, through this shining example of His presence, Christ in you. This kingdom is so within you that you're bigger on the inside than the entire world is on the outside. Amen and amen. I can't afford to have any thoughts about me that He doesn't have about me, says Bill Johnson. Isn't that a really good one? So when you believe what God says about you, maybe the world will think you're arrogant. Maybe the world will think you're proud. Or maybe they will say, whoa, I totally want that. I totally want that. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You are perfect in Christ. He hears your every prayer. There's nothing that you lack now. There's nothing you will lack. Your future grows brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we are the people who believe what Christ has done, what He says, what He testifies in His word concerning what He has done for us. We are the ones who receive. Yes, I receive the gift of faith. Whoa, and the revelation and the penny drops. And we're like, what? You mean, I'm not a filthy, dirty, rotten? Remember we were talking about the old-time revival songs? Remember the old song that goes, once a sinner far from Jesus? I've been shouting so much, I'm going to probably have to just speak it. Here we go. Once a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. Now, I know that's a crazy song on a night like this, but anyway, here we go. Remember winter. All right. I was perishing with cold, but the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then He threw His robe around me, and He led me to His fold. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I opened up towards heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. You guys know that. You guys know it. That's true. This is a celebration. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. We've got the happy gospel. Amen. Happy gospel.
Yeah, shika monkey, boop, 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 boop. So we're going to do it. I feel something impressed upon me. Check it out. I want to leave you with Galatians 6, verse 14. May God help me to take pride only in what He did for me through Christ on the cross. Through him, I am finished with my self-justifying ways of living, and I am searching for a style of life consistent with who I really am. Check it. Okay. In this new style, I say again, external rituals are worthless. All that matters is being the new person you really are. And all of you, the new inside people of God who live by this basic principle, will be in unity with yourselves and with God. And so I leave you Galatians 5:16. Become aware of the spiritual dimension within you and live through the energy of the Holy Spirit. Woo-hoo. Sister Elizabeth, I feel it right now. Whoa! Shake a boat, boat, boat. We're going to have an altar call. Not that we're sinners, but Sister Elizabeth has a revelation that if you're struggling with your perfection, if you're struggling with the righteousness of God and getting it, we're going to have an altar call. Is that okay? Not that you're sinners coming to God. But that, come on, shake a boat, 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 boat. But if you're struggling with this new nature and you're struggling with the revelation of Christ's righteousness in you, we're gonna take care of that right now. Come on, shake a boat, boat, boat. We're gonna let our sister right here pray this. So come on, if you stand up, if you feel like you're struggling, whatever, because you know what? It's not who you are. Right now, we're going to release a corporate prayer anointing that you're going to get this revelation. You're going to get this revelation. You're going to get it. Come on. It's the whole church that's standing. Praise God. That's why we came. So come on. Let's stand up. Let's do it. Come on. We're going to break this off because we're going to live in the newness. In the newness of Christ. That's why we've come. That's why we've come. To speak to you. The revelation. The revelation of the truth of who you really are. Shababa. So we're going to let you pray this. Come on.
Wow. Whoa. Oh my goodness. Hold on. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. 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 Oh, Father, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that the process was already taken care of, Lord. That you already went through the process when you died on the cross, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that no longer are we sinners, God, but that you have infused your righteousness in us, Jesus. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within you. And no longer do you come to an altar crying and struggling with sin, but God is showing the perfection of the cross, that his death and resurrection was more than enough. It was more than enough. Ha! Yes. Whoa. Wow. Show. And now you just release what's in you. Jesus is in you. Jesus is in you. And because he was the Prince of Peace, anytime you feel turmoil, all you have to do is release what's in you and say, peace, be still. Remember, Jesus said he released the peace. He said, peace, be still. And he didn't have to struggle and fight. He just released what was in him. And everything else.
Holy Spirit, right now I just declare, shoot, we're just releasing identity right here. Shabba, do it again. We're not going to be impoverished people. We are going to be carriers of the truth. We are going to be carriers of the dynamic revelation of the fullness of what Christ did for us. Right now, we just release it right now. Shiga, shaw, ha! Whoa, shiga, come on. We're gonna get it. We're gonna get it. We're gonna walk this thing. Shoo! Woo! 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 Come on! Shoo! Woohoo!
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We receive, we receive, we receive by faith. We thank you, Lord, that we have received, that this is what you have for us, and we take it right now by faith. We say thank you, Lord. We believe your word is true. Hallelujah. We believe and we confess, hallelujah, that you have died and you are risen, and we thank you that you are inside of us and that you will do all things well. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless your word. We bless your spirit. We bless the revelation power of the proclamation and the preaching of the gospel. For it is the foolishness of preaching from those who believe. You got to hear it from somebody who believes it, and then you receive it. And now you're a carrier of this message alive. This word is alive, alive inside of you. So, oh, hallelujah. Be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled. Now, you know, to celebrate what Christ has done on the cross for us, a continuous feast, we celebrate. Ah, we are going to have another very famous, exceedingly renowned, greatly famed revelation, gospel, joy, bliss, salvation, blazing fire tunnel of love. Those of you who are in leadership, those of you who come from churches where you are also in leadership, those of you who have got the revelation, come on up. We're going to have two lines of people up here. This is how it's going to work, beloved. Since we may have some guests tonight who don't know what I'm talking about, it's God's answer to the gauntlet. It is repeated blessing. So there will be two lines, and I would ask those who are in leadership in their churches and those people who love this message, the finished works of Christ on the cross of Calvary, to come and double line facing each other. And what you will do, beloveds, is starting over here, please line up, and you will go through. You get to go first. You get to go first. Sister D gets to go first. You'll go through this blazing fire tunnel of love. And I pray blessings over each and every one of you, that you would receive such blessing, such power, such joy, that God would do fantastic things through you as you receive the blessing and the benediction. This is your benediction. Oh, grace, mercy, and peace from Jesus Christ our Lord, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May we please have Blistronica, beloved, upstairs. Let Blistronica begin.